I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Race and gender in presidential politics. With one leading presidential candidate with the potential to be the first woman president in U.S. history and another in position to be the first African-American, race and its sister hot-button issue, gender, have always been subtext to the campaign. Always there, but rarely at the top of the headlines. But now they've taken center stage because of a series of confrontations last week between the campaigns of Senator Hillary Clinton and Senator Barack Obama. It seems to have started last Monday, when Senator Clinton commented that Dr. King's dream of racial equality began to be realized when President Lyndon Johnson passed the Civil Rights Act. Around the same time, Senator Clinton's husband, former President Bill Clinton, commented that Senator Barack Obama's remarks about the Iraq War are a fairy tale. Over the weekend, another Clinton supporter, BET founder Bob Johnson, made comments that some interpreted as trying to rekindle conversation about Senator Obama's teenage drug use which he describes in his memoir. All of this has led the Obama camp and some other African Americans to cry foul, and the Clinton campaign in turn is complaining that their remarks are being misinterpreted. Later, we're going to hear a commentary on race and gender. Leading feminist writer and social activist Gloria Steinem pushed some people's buttons when she seemed to suggest that gender is more important as a factor in public life than race. But first, to sort out the back and forth between the Obama and Clinton camps, we have Ron Lester. He's a leading pollster. He's advised many top candidates, both in the U.S. and internationally, including Senator John Kerry in his campaign for president. He is unaffiliated with either the Obama or Clinton campaign, and he joins us now by phone. Ron, thanks so much for speaking with us.
How are you, Michelle? Great to be on with you.
Yep, thanks for helping us with this, because I understand that this is awkward for you. You've got friends in both campaigns.
Well, I do, but I think that this was inevitable, given the schedule this year, where you have South Carolina right at the beginning, and then on February 5th, which is called Super Duper Tuesday, you have several states, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, New Jersey, California, that have huge numbers of black voters, that the competition for the black vote was going to be fierce this year, and that's what we see playing out now. Now, the reason that this happened is over the years, members of the DNC have felt that Iowa and New Hampshire had a disproportionate effect on choosing the nominee, and that those two states were not representative of the Democratic Party. So South Carolina was added early because it's a state that has a lot of black voters, and Nevada was added early because it's a state that has a lot of Hispanic voters. So with this compressed calendar, there's more emphasis on making your pitch to black voters, and the black vote is becoming more important.
Well, is it surprising, though, to you that it has taken on what seems to be a rather personal tenor? Given that the Clintons are believed to have, I guess what some people call it, a lot of emotional intelligence when it comes to the African-American community. But it does seem that they've pushed a lot of people's buttons, right? Particularly people who are not affiliated, people like Donna Brazile, who took umbrage at President Clinton's comments calling Barack Obama a kid. And she went out of her way to point out that she found that offensive. And also Representative Jim Clyburn, who is the House Minority Whip, number three Democrat in the House, who is unaffiliated, and also went out of his way to say that he didn't like the comments about Martin Luther King.
Well, we're in the heat of a campaign, and I think sometimes things are said that are not the most appropriate things to say, but I don't think anybody doubts the Clintons' commitment to black people that goes back over 30 or 40 years, actually to their days at Yale Law School. And with Bill Clinton, you could even make the point that he was involved in Hope, Arkansas growing up. So fundamentally, no. But I think there is a lot of parsing of words. There's a lot of potential here for both candidates to make mistakes, and it's being driven by what I called earlier this fierce competition for the black vote. You see, I don't think Senator Obama would have been a candidate if the schedule isn't what it is. He's been a very good candidate. He's connected. I think that you see his rise in the polls. That's part of a function of black voters getting to know him. I mean, Hillary Clinton had an early lead because she was known so well, and he really wasn't known very well. I mean, a lot of people knew his name. They knew him from the 2004 Democratic convention where he spoke, but they really couldn't fill in the blanks about Barack Obama. And now that's happening, and he's moving up. He's kind of consolidating the black vote. Mm-hmm. But Hillary Clinton still has some support. The most recent poll I saw in South Carolina has Senator Obama up by about 10 points, but leading 51-29 among blacks. So,
but that's a significant change, though.
But
it's a big change, though, Ron. It's a big change from just recently. I mean, in September, for example, Senator Clinton was, Senator Obama had a slight lead among African Americans, according to an SCTV poll in South Carolina. But nationally, it's become much closer than it was even a month ago. So here's the question I have is, first of all, do you think that this is within the boundaries of appropriate public discourse?
Well, I think it's pushing it. I think that candidates all on both sides and their surrogates should calm down a little bit, take a deep breath, realize what we're talking about here. The Democratic Party is going to have a woman or a black man as a nominee. That is historic. And we need to be careful now that we don't do damage in the primary that can be that can hurt in the general election.
Are people worried about that within the Democratic Party? Because my question is, why should they calm down? If these are authentically felt concerns, they should be expressed. I mean, I think the argument on the Clinton side is that Obama's getting a pass, that that appropriate scrutiny is not being given to his record. I think on the other side of it, the Obama folks feel that the Clintons are subtly injecting race into the campaign in a way that they don't feel is appropriate, particularly the Bob Johnson comment yesterday that implies that race is an issue which many people don't think is appropriate. So.
Well, I mean, this is a campaign for president. The stakes are very high. The competition is very fierce. I think we're going to see them mix it up even more as we head towards South Carolina. I just hope that both sides don't overdo it, that there remains some civility, and that this parsing of words slows down a little bit, and that both sides kind of regroup. And
who has the advantage so far? It seems to me that the Clintons have had spent more time in recent days defending their comments than the other camp. So
clearly, the Clinton campaign has been on the defensive, and when you're on the defensive, you're losing. So clearly, to some extent, this whole imbroglio has worked to Senator Obama's favor so far. But if you take a look at the polls, it hasn't worked to his favor in a decisive manner. I mean, it isn't as if he's put away South Carolina or these February 5th states, but he has gotten an advantage out of this. And clearly, the win in Iowa was big to him. If you take a look at the Washington Post poll out today, mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton was ahead nationally 30 points by about 60 days or so. And now she's only up by 5 points. A lot of that has to do with the momentum that Obama has coming out of Iowa.
All right, Ron Lester, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you. Ron Lester is a leading Democratic pollster. He's unaffiliated so far with any presidential campaign. He joined us by phone. He's been an occasional contributor to our political roundtables. Ron, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Y'all have a good day.